Where is Jesus is the title of the sermon today. That one, Mama and Aunt knew this song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, very famous in Brazil. Where is Jesus? Luke chapter 2, verse 39. Luke chapter 2, verse 39 and 50, all the way to 52. We're going to read through. Before we read, do we have the next picture? Who knows this person? Raise your hand if you ever played this game. Raise your hand if you have never played this game. Okay. This is Wally. Wally? Waldo. Yeah, Waldo. Okay. The game is this. He is in the crowd and you need to look for him. Whoever finds him wins. Where is Waldo? The sermon today is where is Jesus, because you're going to see in the text that his parents are looking for him, just like we look for this game. Verse 39 says this: when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. Very quickly, side note, this is where we stopped last week. Okay, that's why I introduced verse 39. Now it's the reading for today. Verse 40. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand that he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Everybody with me, verse 52. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Where is Jesus is the question. Jesus is growing in stature and wisdom before man and before God. We start verse 40. Luke says the same thing. And in verse 52, Luke says the same thing. Where is Jesus? He is growing in wisdom and he is growing in grace before God and men. That's where you're going to find Jesus. This is a frame. You know the picture? There is the frames, right? Every picture, there is a frame. The frame of this passage is Jesus is growing in wisdom and in the eyes of God and men. So now let us answer the question, where is Jesus? First point, where is Jesus? Jesus is not with the crowd. It's going to come up. Para. Where is Jesus? Not with the crowd. You know, raise your hand to me. Do you know you can learn a lot when you know what not to do, right? If you want to get slim, there is a lot of things you should do, but there is one thing you should not to do. Cake, Tim Hortons, McDonald's. Is that correct? So when you learn what not to do, you're already learning a lot. So where is Jesus? He's growing in wisdom. Where is he? He is not. He's not with the crowd. There is a picture of the crowd here. Can you see the crowd? Can you imagine this crowd saying the very same thing repeatedly, loud and loud and loud? Picture that. And then the person who is handling the crowd, he has two options. He makes the deaf ear or he gives in. Remember Pontius Pilate? Do you remember Pontius Pilate? The crowd starts to say, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And what did Pontius Pilate say? Does he gives in. There is a saying maybe you know, vox populi, vox Dei. The voice of the people is the voice of God. Have you ever heard that? No? This is so common in Brazil. There is a saying that says the voice of the people is the voice of God. And obviously, we go against it. Obviously, some people give in, just like Pontius Pilate did. Obviously, some people give in, just like politicians do. Are they asking for this? I vote for this. Are they asking for the opposite? I'll vote for the opposite. No matter what, the voice of the people is the voice of God. Whatever the people want, I'm going to do to please them. And that's clearly not the truth. Very easily, you look our elections, you look our votings, and you're very quickly going to know that the voice of the people, it is not the voice of God. There is no wisdom in the crowd. That's why the parents of Jesus Christ look for him there and they never find him because he would never be there. But if you pay attention to verse 43 to verse 45, it's going to give us even another thing. After the feast was over, repeat with me, feast. While his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends, but they did not find him there. So Jesus is not with the crowd, and the crowd is celebrating. The crowd is still in spirit of feast. And keep in mind, this is a good feast. It is a godly feast. I'm not talking about bad feast. I'm not talking about Brazilian carnival. I'm not talking about any of these. I'm talking about a beautiful celebration. But Jesus is not there. Why? Because he's looking forward to grow in wisdom and in grace. All of us need to understand this. And you should understand this when you're a teenager, when you're a kid. And you should teach that when you have kids and teenagers. There is a time for everything. Back when I was growing, I was allowed only to play video games only Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Because Monday to Thursday, I had to study. If I play video games from Monday to Friday, I would be a very bad student. So, mama and dad, what they said, Gustavo, you're allowed to play. We want you to have fun. We want you to be with your friends. But you need to understand very early that's just a small portion of your life. that's not your whole life. And that's when you're a kid, and that's even when you're an adult. Because I have friends that if you ask them, let's go to the movies on the Monday, they go. And the next day, let's go to the park, they go. And the next day, let's go watch a game, they go. And whatever you ask them, they will come. But then, there is no wisdom there. Because you're never going to find wisdom only in celebration. You're never going to find wisdom if you dedicate your life just to celebrate from Monday to Monday. I personally have felt that in my life. The day that I start to say no to requests. The day that I said yes to the books. The day that I said yes, I'm staying home. The day I said yes, I'm going to wake up a little bit earlier. The day I said yes, I'm going to concentrate in the books. I'm going to concentrate in whatever I'm planning my life to. And my life, it starts to grow. When I understand that celebration, it wasn't the place of wisdom. It was the place of my small portion of my life. Jesus understands there is time for celebrate, but Jesus understands there is a time the celebration is over. And now it's time to look for wisdom. And now it's time to grow in grace. And now it's time to do the job I was called to do. So where is Jesus? He's growing wisdom. He's growing before man and God. But he's not doing that with the crowd. Because the voice of the people, it's not the voice of God. So that brings us to our next question, which is the same question. Where is Jesus? And we're going to go for point two, because we're going to start to find Jesus with the teachers, with the masters, with the rabbis. There is a picture of a rabbi. Can you pull it and leave it there? I want you to see the picture of the rabbis. And let this stay with your sight for now. Where is Jesus? He is with the teachers. How old is Jesus here? 12. Okay? I think you know that my dream was to become a soccer player. Can you raise your hand if you knew that? Okay, good. Guess with what age I started? 12. At 12. Why? Because my mom and dad could never teach me how to be a soccer player. My brother could never. So bad. So bad. Could never teach me how to become a soccer player. Who needs to teach me to become a soccer player? The pros. The coaches. Where is Jesus? Jesus is with the teachers. When he's 30 years old, who he's going to become? He's going to become a rabbi. Therefore, who he needs to hang out with? With the rabbis. Does that make sense? I always wondered, how could Jesus be here? Let us read verse 46 and verse 47. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. How could Jesus, 12 years old, be among the rabbis, the teachers, the doctors? And there is two answers that they are together. First, this is Eastern. This is the Passover. Every person needs to come to Jerusalem. So everybody was in Jerusalem. So rabbis, teachers from everywhere, they were together. People from Africa, Middle East, Asia, Europe, all of them in the same place. And guess what they like to do? They like to talk. Imagine this, a Baptist, a Presbyterian, a Pentecostal, a Methodist, a non-denominational, all talking. Can you imagine this? Do you think the conversation would ever end? They are just talking. Theology. My church is this. And if they were like me, I would always say, my church is better than yours. Emmanuel is the best. You guys need to learn from us. Jokes aside, they are talking. Theology. And what are they looking for? Pay attention to verse 46, because this is a lesson for us. Jesus was doing what? Listening to them and asking them questions. What comes first? Listening. Have you ever spoke to people who never listen to you? Whatever you say, they reply back. And they speak louder than you. And then you can never speak. Say amen if you ever did. Amen. Now, say amen if you are that kind of person. Amen. So Jesus is teaching us. He is not there to speak up his mind, to air out his opinion. He is there to learn. And when he opens his mind, it's not to say something. It is to ask a question. Why? Because I want you to speak more, because I'm listening. Our lives would be better lives if we do that, right? Our relationships, our friendships, our families, our churches. Do you agree with me? If we listen more and ask more questions instead of just airing out our opinions. So Jesus is doing that. So if the rabbis who want to speak up found ears who wants to listen, bingo, that's the place Jesus is very much welcome to be. So that's one of the ways he was there among the rabbis, the doctors, and the teachers. But there is another thing also happening that we don't understand. Because in our culture, a person of 12 to 18 years old, it's not considered a man or a woman. They are considered this word. This is a dangerous word. Are you ready? They are considered teenagers. Yes, I was one. Yes. So, but in the back of the Jewish culture, and I believe back in the days of you as well, there was no such a thing of teenager. You're 15, you're working, right? You're helping out the house, correct? You're helping to pay the bills. Nowadays, the teenagers get allowance, get everything. I know because I was spoiled too. So, the rabbis, they look at Jesus and they do not look like our culture looks to him. They look at him and see him as a man. He's 12 years old, you're a man. You're not a teenager, you're not a child. So if you're here, we are treating you like a man. We're going to speak to you like a man. And you're welcome here because you're not a kid, you're a man. So that's how Jesus could be there. And the reason why is Jesus being there? Because he's becoming a rabbi himself. So what is Jesus doing? Where is Jesus? He's learning ministry. He's coming closer to the purpose of his life. He's accomplished his vision. That's what is Jesus doing. He's learning from the ones he should learn. Are we clear here? Okay. That brings us to the final question. And what is the question? Where is Jesus? It's only one question. And we're going to find him with his father. And this is the most beautiful. First, he's not with the crowd. He's not in the houses of celebration. Secondly, he is with the teachers. He is with the ones who's going to model him to become the minister he's supposed to be. But finally, and most important, he is with his father. Let us read verse 49 and verse 50. "Why were you searching for me?" Jesus asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Who is Jesus with? Where is Jesus? Jesus is with his father. And that very right off top teaches us something very important. Here, Sunday morning, we are learning as a team, as a congregation. But when we get home, what we need to do? We need to open our Bibles. We need to put our knees down. And we need to learn personally, individually. We must have our own relationship with God. If the point two tells us that Jesus is learning from people, that Jesus is learning from the congregational level, that Jesus is learning to become a minister, here right now the Bible is teaching us that Jesus is learning and growing in a personal relationship. Despite of the others, despite of the teachers, he himself is coming closer to the Father. And I always tell you this, I don't want as a minister to become a speaker. I don't want as a pastor to become a public speaker. What is the public speaker? I come to the Bible, I find a sermon, and I give it to you. That's not my goal. My goal is to come to the Bible and find Jesus and grow in wisdom and knowledge of who Jesus Christ is and grow in my personal relationship with Jesus. And then, only then, give you a sermon. Only then, share you Jesus Christ. Because before becoming a minister, I'm a son of God. Before becoming the minister I was called to be, I need to be in that spot of a relationship with God. Do you understand that? That's what Jesus is doing here. And I'm sorry, can you bring the next picture? It's just a cute picture of a parent with his son. I forgot to put in the screen about two verses, because every time we're going to talk about wisdom, growth, success in life, we need to go to the book of Proverbs. And I'm going to just quote this to you. It's Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Pay attention. "Listen, my sons, to a father's instructions. Listen, my son, to a father's instructions. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching." Where is Jesus? He's learning on the right source. If you go to the TV and you go to fake news and you go to bad Netflix, bad movies, and all of those things, you're going to learn, but it's in the wrong source. You're going to learn, but you're going to learn the wrong things. You're going to learn the fake news. You need to go to the right source. You're being diligent. You're going. You're devoting your time. You're listening. You're paying attention. But if the source is wrong, you're learning what it's wrong. Jesus Christ and Proverbs is teaching us what? Listen to the Father's instruction. And Jesus has this in mind. I need to listen. Listen to my Father. I need to learn. Learn from my Father. I need to devote my time to teaching and learning and growing. I need to go to the source. I need to go to my Father. And attached to that is the very famous Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. My own understanding, it's fake news. My own understanding, it's my feelings. My own understandings are my opinions. Lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on those. But in all your ways, repeat with me, all your ways, submit to the Lord and He will make your path straight. Luke is framing this text saying, Jesus grows in wisdom and He grows in grace before God, spiritually, and even before men. Proverbs tells us that if you trust in the Lord, if you put your own opinion aside and you believe in the book, you believe in the Bible, you believe what the Bible is saying because God is the one who gave it to you, you're going to become wise in all your ways, before men and before God. I personally strongly believe and understand Christianity should shape all the areas of society. If you talk politics, we should have Christians there. Why? Because the Bible has a lot to say about governance, leadership, righteousness, ethics. If you talk business, we must have Christians there being the leaders, being the models. Why? Because the Bible has a lot to talk about finances. Whatever is the topic, in all your ways, we should have people there. Why? Because when you go to the right source, why? Because son, listen to your father. Because when you go to the right place, just as Jesus went, all your ways, in all your ways, your path's gonna be established. How did Jesus had all his ways established? Because he was with his father. That's how he grew in wisdom. He was at the right place. He was first not with the crowd. Secondly, he was with the teachers. Third, he was in a personal relationship with God. And what it finds amazes me, it's how does Luke, he makes this text so beautiful. And with this I conclude. First, he puts symbolism in this text. How old is Jesus? 12. How many tribes the Israelites have? How many apostles does Jesus have? What is the number 12 teaching us? God's people. In Jesus, God's people meet. Who are God's people? It is ethnicity? No. It is because you speak the same language? No. Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. Not a belief I say I believe. Not a belief culturally. Not a belief historically. But a belief from the heart. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. All I do, it's for Him. It's after His word. He is my Lord. Number 12, Jesus Christ is the head of God's people, both the Old Testament and New Testament. And how long did it take for Joseph and Mary to find Jesus? 3 days. How long it take for Abraham to bring Isaac to a potential sacrifice that has never happened? How long? How long did Jesus stay dead? What is the Bible teaching us? Transition. Who was the old people of God? The people of Israel. Who is the people of God now? The church. Salvation was first about a land, about a place, About ethnicity, salvation now is transitioning. Salvation now is for all the peoples, for whoever who believes. There was an Old Testament. Now there is a New Testament. That's what Luke is doing here. He's filling this text with this symbolism, declaring to people, hey, we are going to get to taste a New Testament. We are going to taste a new covenant. We are going to taste a new kind of relationship with God that nobody has ever received or tasted. And that kind of relationship, it's found in Jesus Christ. And Luke is also doing to us another thing. Where is Jesus? People have this question. If you go look for God, if you go search for God, you're going to find Jesus. And you know some people, they are kind of skeptical about Jesus. And what is Luke saying? If you go look for Jesus, where is Jesus? If you search him, you're going to find God. Because God the Father and God the Son, they are one. Every time you look for God, you find Jesus. Every time you find Jesus, you find God. That's what Luke's saying. And with that, pay attention to this. Luke was a doctor, so he is very smart when he is writing. Pay attention to this. Father, Son, the temple. Father, Son, the temple, God's house. Let us read verse 49 so we conclude. Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? If you're looking for Gustavo, where is the easiest place to find him? In the church. That's right. And after the church, in the house. I love this man. You're going to find me at the house. If you miss me there, just come a little bit later and you're going to find me. Or come another day and you're going to find me. What is Jesus teaching us here? What is Luke teaching us? Father, Son, the temple. Jesus doesn't look to the temple as the doctors would look. He enters the temple and he says, it's my house. Later on, when he's old, you remember he had to clean up the temple a little bit. Do you remember? He had to take some furniture out. He had to take some visitors out. You know, only who can do that? A rabbi? A doctor? A teacher? Caesar? No, only the one who owns the place. Only the one who owns the house. And that's what Jesus do. Why? Because clear to him, he knows and he's telling everybody, I am the Son of God. I am the owner of this place. And thirdly and most beautiful, he runs the place. He's 12 years old and he's already running the place. He's among the doctors. And he's already running the place. Because you know this. If you work for a family business, and I just did for the one in Whitby, it's a family business. No matter who you are, no matter if you're a graduate at Harvard, Oxford, no matter if you're a doctor, a teacher, a rabbi, whoever you are. Who runs the place? The family. My boss was 1 year old. His name was Maverick. So cute. And he was born and we're like, you're the boss. Why? Because it's a family-owned business. What is Jesus teaching us here? He steps into the temple. And among the doctors, among people super capable, with experience, with everything, I run this place. I am the son. This place, it's mine. I am doing my dad's business. Why am I here so early? Because I know this place is mine. Why am I here so early? Because I know this business, quote. Do you all understand when I say the word business? I don't want to offend, you know. This business is mine. Why am I so dedicated to all of this? Because it's mine. And this maybe teaches us what is the conclusion. Do we want to grow in wisdom? Do we want to grow in grace before men and before God? We need to have that identity that Jesus Christ has. Own Christianity. I am a part of this. You know, it's not them. It's us. It's me. It's not poor missionaries over there. It is we. Okay? When they attack us, they're attacking me. Just like we would do with our family. Nobody's going to talk about my mom, dad, my brother. It's we. That's the identity Jesus has. And if we understand this way, and if we give the thought Jesus gives, and if we know our purpose, our vision, our identity, we're going to be in the right place. We're going to spend time the right way. We're going to be careful with our even leisure time when we are on TV. We're going to apply this to everything in life. Why? When we understand what Jesus knew, I know who I am. I know whose I am. I know what I'm here for. Therefore, I'm growing in wisdom and I'm growing in the eyes of men and the eyes of God. Does that make sense? Easier said than done, correct? Let us be in the right place then. Okay? With the teachers, with the Father. Amen? Amen.